Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, HSCN viewers, and all children of God who attended the worship online. This is the 19th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained how Lucifer's rebellions went on and its result. With the crafty words, Lucifer won the third of the angels and the dragons and some cherubims over to her side. However, her rebellions failed and they were all confined in abyss. I will tell you today that Lucifer and God the Father and the Holy Spirit talked before she was imprisoned. First, it's what Lucifer said to God the Holy Spirit first. I'm grateful to be able to preach on such a profound topics. This cannot be known unless God tells us, and it's not written in the Bible. Because you hear this deep contents, you can know everything in detail, including about Lucifer, the reason why human cultivation is needed. This content is very difficult to understand because it's very only roughly recorded in the Bible. But I'm so thankful that God allowed me to preach about the conversation between Lucifer and God the Trinity. If there are people who are here for the first time or have never heard of this content, they may think this church is strange when they hear this sermon, but I hope you believe it. God is granting that what I preach is true by showing the signs, wonders, and the power to this church. If what I preach were false, I would probably be the world's greatest liar. If I could make up a fake story with this kind of a content, I would be a really great writer. Above all, if I preach the false things, the enemy Satan, devil, would not let me go and that God would immediately punish me. It's never forgiven for a sovereign of God's power to tell lies. So I can't preach to you about something that doesn't exist. The reason God allows this tremendous truth to be proclaimed in this church is because we live in the age so full of sin that it's really difficult for people to believe in God. People claim that there's no God, and even Christians do not believe in God with their whole heart. In this time, it's difficult for people to have a faith without God's sign, wonders, and power. People vaguely know God, the Lord, through their knowledge, but it's difficult to believe in Him with their hearts. You must believe in the Lord with your heart and confess it with your lips to be saved. But even Christians still only know it as a knowledge. It's never helpful for them to be saved. Okay, now let's find out what Lucifer said. God gave me authority. Now, she's talking to God the Son and the Holy Spirit. She was referring to the authority she would get later to govern the darkness. After God the Son goes down to the earth of a flesh, He will receive a suffering because of me, and so will you, Holy Spirit. It means Lucifer will instigate evil people to persecute Jesus at the time when God the Son comes down this earth as a Son of a Man. Then what does it mean the Holy Spirit will also suffer from Lucifer? It means that Lucifer will instigate evil people to persecute the children of God who receive the Holy Spirit. Then in turn, it will be same as the Holy Spirit who dwells in them will also suffer. By the way, the fact is the Holy Spirit doesn't suffer from the persecution itself that the children of God received. The Holy Spirit received the pain when the children of God are tempted to commit sin by the enemy devil and Satan and go to the way of death. It just as Romans chapter 8:26 says, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. For example, there are people who go astray even after they experience the gift and the power from heaven through the Holy Spirit. Gradually, they quench the Holy Spirit. They sometimes commit the sin of the blaspheming and the standing against the Holy Spirit, which can never be forgiven. Because of these souls, the Holy Spirit feels a terrible pain and the sorrow. It's the same when they also commit a smaller sins, not only such a grave sin. The reason souls commit sin like this that Lucifer has authority over the darkness and she invoked a sinful nature in their heart. During the period of the human cultivation, Lucifer continues to exercise this authority of the darkness. Therefore, until the human cultivation is over, the Holy Spirit also keeps suffering from the pain and the sorrow due to such souls. This is why Lucifer said that you will also suffer on account of me to the Holy Spirit. She also said this, "You say I'm arrogant, but I'm not arrogant. God who loved me knew that I wanted to enjoy this authority and allowed me to have this authority." She denied that her arrogance brought her rebellion of God. Right up to the end, she hadn't yet recognized her arrogance. She was obsessed with the power she would have in the future, mistakenly believing that God had granted her this power because he loved her. Even though she betrayed God and was cast out, she revealed her ambitions to wield great power. Lastly, Lucifer said to the Holy Spirit, "The world that I govern will be greater and larger than the world under you, the Holy Spirit. Since my authority will be greater than yours, I will make you suffer." On what ground was Lucifer saying that her world would be greater than the word of the Holy Spirit? She thought that the number of the people who would belong to the darkness would be much more than that of the people born new through the Holy Spirit. Based on this, Lucifer said her authority would be greater. However, the reason of the number of the unbeliever is bigger is not because Lucifer's authority is greater than that of the Holy Spirit. Her dark authority is not even closer to the Holy Spirit that belongs to the light. You can find evidence in the history about mankind. Even though even people seem to prosper, in the end, it's goodness that has always been victorious. Despite the relentless persecution from the forces of the darkness, the faith of the believers remained unshaken. In this world of the darkness that Lucifer governs, that there are children of God who are constantly coming out of the darkness and into the light by faith. It proved that authority of the light always defeats darkness. Moreover, in the end time, the power of the Holy Spirit will explode to help countless souls receive the salvation. Therefore, her opinion that her authority would be greater was mere miscalculation from her arrogance. We can find how arrogant she was at the time. What Lucifer said will become evidence on the final judgment day. It proved that her arrogance and evilness reached the extreme, and thus she will receive the most terrible punishment of hell. Lucifer couldn't understand the deep heart of a God who loved her so much and he gave her the human nature. First of all, when you become arrogant, your judgment and understandings are impaired. Your arrogance blinds your eyes. So when you become arrogant, you don't even know that you are arrogant. They do not realize that they are being arrogant when they disobey their superiors. The Holy Spirit enlightened her, but she didn't realize how she herself was. She misunderstood that she deserved to be loved by God and that she was worthy to have authority. She thought the entire fleshly world would be under her control in the future, and thus she could say that she would make God the Son as well as God the Holy Spirit to suffer. This her arrogance enabled her to betray and oppose God the Father. God the Holy Spirit tried everything to make her realize her mistake. He spoke to her like this: "You don't understand the heart of a father, and you don't know his love either. You mean Lucifer. Father loved you, favored you, and enjoyed your praise. If you knew that deep heart of a father, you wouldn't have become like this. If you knew the love of father, you never would have spoken as you have. Since I know how much father loved you, I'm heartbroken over what you've done. I found it deeply saddening that you don't understand the love of father with all his heart." The Holy Spirit was so hurt, his hurt, because of Lucifer. The reason God the Father gave Lucifer human nature and loved her was that he wanted to share true love with her. However, Lucifer failed to understand what true love is and ended up being arrogant. True love never changes in any situation. Love is the more you receive, the more you serve. But Lucifer didn't know what true love is. The Holy Spirit also spoke to Lucifer, saying, "As the history of a human cultivation comes to the end, you will be confined by me. And you will bitterly regret what you're now saying. No matter how many people you control, you will realize that your authority can never be greater than that of a father. The reason God the Son and I will suffer on account of you is not because your authority is greater. You will eventually realize that all this happened included in the plan of a father." The Holy Spirit ended his words with this. He knew that even though he tried to make her realize, Lucifer was too arrogant to listen to him. You must understand how terrible arrogance is by this. Proverbs chapter 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spreadeth before stumbling." Since pride blinds eyes of a people, those who are arrogant people are deceived by themselves. Even they are walking to wrong path. They think they are walking the right path. They believe that they're on the right track, even though others don't see it. If a man wants to change, he has to realize his fault. But arrogance hinders him from realizing his fault. Therefore, you should always be alert not to be arrogant. Through the conversation between Lucifer and the Holy Spirit, you must realize that you should never go under the authority of the darkness that Lucifer governs. In other words, you should never become a slave to the enemy devil and Satan. Jesus said in John chapter 8:34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of a sin." That's it. If you commit a sin, you are a slave to sin. Those who do not live in the truth in the world and in the light are slaves of a sin. If a child of God commits sin, it's like he becomes a slave to the enemy devil and Satan. Why? Because it's an enemy devil and Satan that instigate you to commit sin. ultimately, it makes you go against God. Then she becomes a triumphant because she thinks the world she reigns over becomes longer, larger. However, the Holy Spirit feels the pain and the mourns for the soul who commits sin. I urge you, remember this, commit sin no more, but to live by the word of God. I ask you in the name of the Lord, please God the Father, as you practice the truth. Dear brother and sister in Christ, before Lucifer was confined in the abyss, she roughly spoke arrogant words before God. She spoke with raised eyes and a scolding tone before Father God. The face of Lucifer was already changed and different from before. Her face, which was originally very beautiful, now has upturned eyes and a scary look. Lucifer openly displayed her arrogance by daring to compare herself with God the Creator. Moreover, she was so indiscreet toward God that she disrespectfully called God you. You create the countless angels and the cherubim that serve you and minister to you in the spiritual realm. You are the only God. I am a mere creature. I want you to give me the same authority that you have. Give me a bunch of the angels too, so that I can establish my own world. Don't you think it's fair that you give me the same authority with yours, that I can't compete with you? God me such given me such authority and given me a spirit of the darkness. It's fair that you should give me authority that is equal to yours, so that I can compete with you. Only when the race begins on fair terms will there be no grounds for accusations when I talk to you. Even when Lucifer was speaking arrogantly and insolently, God the Father just listened to her. And when the human cultivation began in earnest, He granted her request. He released many spirits of darkness from the confinement so that Lucifer could govern them. Why did God the Father grant Lucifer's request? It was to accomplish to the perfect justice, just as Lucifer said. It was to show that she could never defeat God the Father, even if she was granted the authority of the darkness as she requested. Dear brothers and sisters, when you read in the book of Job, you can find the situation of the Satan bringing an accusation against God. In Job chapter 1:8, God said to Satan regarding Job, "There's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and a right man, fearing God and turning away from evil." God acknowledges that Job is a man without evil. Then Satan said in Job chapter 1:9, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" And then ask God to touch all that Job has. Once God granted Satan's request, Job instantly lost his children and all his possessions. But Job didn't begrudge God, but held fast to his integrity. But Satan didn't give up. Satan accused Job a second time. Even though Job did all that, he didn't blame God, so a second lawsuit was filed. Satan said in Job 2:5, "However, put first your hands down and touch his bone and his flesh, he will curse you to your face." God once again granted Satan's request. God put Job under Satan's power, but with the conditions to spare his life. Then Job was struck with the painful boils from the soles of his feet to his head, and he suffered greatly. What if your children suffer from severe atopic dermatitis? If the scab that covers from the kids' legs to their face is this thick and when they move it, it tears and bleed. The kids scratch the area because it itches so much. So how painful it must be for their parents to see that. Those kids are itching and scratching and struggling. Job also suffered from severe boils from head to toe. It was so itch that it was unbearable, so he had to scratch himself with a roof tile. Job suffered greatly from boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job started to begrudge God and get angry at his friends. He revealed his evil, hidden his deep hurt. From chapter 3 of the book of Job, recorded sin in which Job's hidden evil is revealed. Now, it means that Satan won the challenge? You will know it is doesn't mean that if you look at the conclusion of Job, due to the accusation of Satan, Job underwent the trials and he revealed much evil in the middle of this trial, but it was rather a blessing for Job. It was a good opportunity to find the evil that Job himself didn't even know was there. Who helped Job discover his own evil? It was the devil and Satan who helped Job to discover and expose his evil. Job was a man of integrity and righteousness. He appeared to be a most virtuous man on the earth, but because he was such a person, he eventually admitted his evil and repented and confessed. But Satan did not know that Job would discover such evil and repent. It just expected that Job would blame God and leave him. The reason was the opposite because he was a good person. Thanks to this, Job was given a good opportunity to discover and cast away the evil he had not known about with whose help, with God's help. In other words, God allowed him to go on the trial. God accepted Satan's accusation because he knew this outcomes in advance. God did not want the honest and upright Job to do wrong. God allowed it all because he foresaw that Job would be able to overcome that test and win. When Job recognized the root of his evil and repented, he received a great blessing from God according to the justice, but Satan couldn't bring the charges against him. The test he faced was enormous, but God, who knew the outcomes, allowed it. He repented instead of his friends in the last chapter of the book of Job, and he became a more perfect man before God and received twice as many blessings as before. If the richest person in the East gets twice as many blessings, it's enormous. He had children again and also received the daughters of the most beautiful women from God. What a blessing, both spiritually and physically. And of course, God would have led his children who had been taken away before to heaven, because Job was always worried that he might have sinned. He offered a burnt offering on behalf of his son. As in the case of Job, there are times when God allows Satan to accuse someone. If he's allowed to face a difficulty even though he's not commit any specific sin, it's to receive the greater blessing. Job did not commit any sins. He did not sin physically or spiritually. But God allowed him to go through this trial in order to give him a greater blessing. On the other hand, if you commit sin, you are allowed to pay for your sin. If you commit sin, you naturally deserve to face the consequences. Through the hardships, we can promise ourselves not to sin again, and that tribulation soon serves as a whip of love. Therefore, if you pass any trial with gratitude, the result will be blessing. If we have lived according to God's word in the light, it would be good to pass through this trial and receive the greater blessing. However, if you commit the sin, you will face trials, and it is not because of that you will be receive the blessing. Of course, it can be blessing. Why? If you repent and turn back, your soul will be more prosperous. If your soul is good, you will bear fruit and then receive the blessing. If you face a difficulty even though you did nothing wrong, this means that God will bless you as soon as the test is over. God means that you did nothing wrong, but Satan accused you and you were punished, but you won and worked hard, so I will give you blessing. God will say like this. It's just as Job chapter 23:10 says, He knows the way I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Human cultivation is ultimately a process of being trained to be recognized as a true child of God. Even if you do not receive the extreme trials like a Job did, each person will definitely receive the trial of varying degrees. Only when you undergo trials can you find the evil in your heart and cast it off. Besides, though the trials, your heart can be cultivated into spirit and your face can be refined as a refined gold. With the authority of the darkness, Lucifer motivates and encourages people to commit sin and go to the way of the death. However, the children of God who receive the Holy Spirit can repent their sin by the help of the Holy Spirit. Then the love of God the Father will be deeply engraved on their hearts so that they can live more perfectly in the light. Eventually, they can become the true children that God the Father desires. Likewise, Lucifer is actually helping God accomplish the purpose of the human cultivation. Therefore, Lucifer and the spirit of the darkness can be compared to the fertilizer that farmers use. Man cannot eat fertilizer. If a man eats a fertilizer, he can be harmed. However, if he uses the fertilizer to cultivate his land, he can harvest good fruits. Just as a fertilizer itself is harmful to human, Lucifer and the spirits of darkness are evil beings that oppose God. However, through the work of the spread of darkness, God can harvest the true children, the spiritual grain that God wants. The spirit of darkness that tests, persecutes, and makes things difficult for God's children actually act as a fertilizer to make them more spiritually faithful grain saints. This means that you will be trained and enter to the spirits more due to the dark forces of the enemy devil and the Satan. It may seem like it would be nice to become a spiritual person without any test, but that's not true. If you don't have difficulties, you will be stagnant in your faith life. You have to go through the hardship, becoming aware of your sin and repent. Then you enter the Spirit. And the shepherd tends their sheep together with the horned goats. To the gentle sheep, goats are the antagonists that bring trouble to them. Without goats, the sheep feels at peace. The shepherd knows it well. It's because the goats inflict the pain on the sheep with their horns when the sheep stands still, and thus the sheep go here and there to avoid the goats. Thanks to goats, the sheep can become healthier. In addition, there's a catfish effect. This is one of the methods mainly used by the loach farmers to obtain the healthy and the fresh loach. They put several catfish in a loach farm pond. The catfish is a natural enemy of the loach. Once several catfish are released in a farm, loaches actively move around to survive. Even though some bad and unhealthy roaches may be eaten by the catfish, most of the loaches who grew up are much stronger and healthier. Moreover, when roaches are transported to the distant place, a catfish in a tank where the loaches are makes the loaches stay active until they reach the destination. The natural enemy of a loach, the catfish, plays the role of the extending the lifespan of the loach. It's similar to the principle of getting a flu shot before you catch a cold. The same principle can be applied to the reason God the Father allows the evil spirits to work during the period of the human cultivation. If there were no enemy devil and Satan, would human cultivation be successful? Let's think about it. God wants His children to have a better faith like a fine gold, as well as a true hope and a spiritual love through the trials. Therefore, I urge you to give thanks even when you undergo trials. 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by the various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by a fire, may be found to be reserved in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Through this trial, we will have a faith as pure as gold, and we will receive the praise, glory, and honor when the Lord returns." Only through trials can we have a faith as pure as gold. The difference is that wise people receive the fewer trials and quickly become a special person, while the opposite case is that they receive the trials repeatedly and only fight against their sins without any producing fruit. People who only fight against their own sin like this often fight with other people, and those fight last for years or even 6 months. And what they have in common is that they argue and claim that they are right. But from another perspective, they are wrong and they do not listen to others' advice. It's because they are arrogant. And there's no solution between that repeated fight. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, in the next lecture, I will explain the war of the evil spirits that were established around Lucifer. Lucifer was a mere creature, and she betrayed the love of God. Nevertheless, God granted Lucifer's request and allowed her to establish the war of the evil spirits. Father God did it only for His one and only hope. His hope is to acquire true children of God in the perfect justice. Human cultivation without justice is not complete. Think about this carefully. Human cultivation without justice is in fact meaningless. If a president of the country uses his power to lead his son to become the next president, there's no reason for the son to study hard and go abroad. His son just needs to be appointed. Because there's justice, we can be cultivated through the enemy devil and Satan. The hope of God is to obtain His true children in complete justice. In order to accomplish this hope, God granted Lucifer's request even though she spoke to him rudely. During the period of the human cultivation, Lucifer has instigated and controlled the evil people to continually hold grudges against God and condemn God. However, God the Father has endured even with such a people who condemn God. Since they were also created after the image of God, He wanted them to repent at some time and to become His children. There were people who didn't turn back from the evil path but went the way of the destruction. Still, God the Father wishes all the men to reach a salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count a slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." I wish all of you can understand such a heart of God the Father deep in your heart. Some people have a faith to have the hope of the New Jerusalem, but in reality, there are those who do not want it. Because life on the earth is hard and the trials are difficult, they want to go to heaven quickly, or they want the Lord to come soon. But if they go to the heaven now, they will go to the first or second heaven. They want to go to the heaven quickly. It means they have no hope of a New Jerusalem. If you want to go to the New Jerusalem, you must somehow enter the spread and the whole spread while you are living here. Those who have preserved their whole spirit of soul and body blameless when our Lord Jesus Christ comes are the ones who say, "Lord, come quickly." But if they say, "I want to go heavenly quickly while not yet living on the earth," or while not living in the light, they don't want to go to the New Jerusalem. They actually consider the first or second heaven enough to them. Life on this earth is hard, so those who wanted to go to heaven quickly cannot keep in mind that these words, "Always be joyful, stay awake, pray, and be thankful in all circumstances." They just think life on this earth is hard, but those who live in the light do not feel hardship. Because they have abandoned the evil in their hearts, even if their house is shabby and the surrounding circumstances are difficult, they feel peaceful and happy. I urge you to cast off every form of the evil and become a child of a God who has a truly good and a clean heart. May you become a perfect fruit at the end of your period of human cultivation. To be evidence of that, God the Father wins. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.